This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Wow, what a lineup we have today for you on Kingdom Pursuits. I couldn't even hardly be more excited about hearing all the things I get to share with you guys today. Here it is, Mother's Day Eve, which I always think that that's a neat thing to keep in mind. And, as we get a chance to celebrate mothers in a different environment than we ever normally do. But along those lines, we'll get to some of that today. But first off, you know, an old friend, been on here many, many times with us, Andy Bowersox, Energize Ministries, for such a time as this, right, Andy? Because, you know, pastors are facing things like, whoa, who could have seen any of this coming?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me back. I was thinking on the way over here, it's been probably at least a year or maybe more since I've been over here. So, yeah, you know, I always love coming on doing your programs, Robbie. And, who would have thought 3 months ago that we'd be facing a pandemic where nobody can go and gather in church? And just all the new challenge. You know, obviously, we're passionate about caring for pastors and other kingdom leaders. And it's been crazy. You know, our mornings for the four or five of us that meet individually with pastors every day, those meetings are non-existent and have been for 6 weeks. So we've become experts in Zoom, but it's not quite the same. You know, to miss face-to-face interaction and connecting face-to-face. I've been doing a lot of thinking this week about the value of connecting in person. Than the scriptural value of connecting in person. And so we're ready to move on and get back to it for sure.
It's not good for man to be alone. You can say that again. And so we got next up, we have August Turek. I hope I'm saying that right. And August is the author of a really unbelievable, one of those things, won a bunch of prizes book. It's called Brother John, A Monk, A Pilgrim, and the Purpose of Life. And so, you know, how fun that we can have you on today, August, and talk about what was a very unique experience.
It was an honor to be with you.
Did I get your last name right?
Turek. Turek is
Oh, I like that better. Turek.
My relatives in the old country would say Turok, but
Turok.
I would go with
Turek. Yeah, that's cool. That is awesome. So what I understand is you had a chance actually to go to a monastery and hang
out?
Well,
back in 1996, I was actually mentoring some college students at Duke University on spiritual things. I was an entrepreneur at the time. I was just starting a company and partners, and they took me skydiving as a, quote, team-building exercise. And I smashed my ankle to smithereens, and I started having terrible panic attacks and deep, deep, deep depression, something that Father Christian, my mentor later, called a Deus absconditus experience. And I was very, very depressed. And one of my other students called a few months later and said that he was spending the entire summer at a Trappist monastery called Metkin Abbey outside of Charleston, South Carolina, as a monastic guest. And when I asked him what that meant, he said he was actually wearing a robe. He was a part-time monk. He was getting up at 3 in the morning, living with the monks in the back behind the, quote, cloister wall. And working with them and their business, and he was spending the entire, and I just blurted out, I got to come. And that was 1996, and I went down there, and that's when I first met Brother John. He was the one that showed me the guest house that they put me up in on my very first trip there.
Wow, I'm gonna jump in there on you, August, because we got it. Wow, you can tell we're gonna hear a lot about this, but really unique experience. It really relates to sort of where we're going today in a really cool way. So we're going to be hearing a lot more about Brother John and about this experience. But also we have with us really a phenomenal guest. We have Michael Johnson, who is with the Slavic Gospel Association. And you may not have noticed this, but if you look closely, the Russian COVID numbers are growing like nobody else's right now. And they feel like they're going to eclipse Chernobyl as far as a catastrophe in Russia, and this weekend, I think if you look, they're doing over 10,000 cases a day. They're growing. And so they're going to be number two on the list of cases of corona, I'm sure, by the end of this weekend, which, as horrible as that is, it just kind of opens up a window for these folks who are really looking for answers. And, Michael, that's what you want to talk about today.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on your program this morning. And, yes, our ministry, we were established in 1934, and I had worked at the ministry a number of years ago, and they brought me back as a president about 3 years ago. So when the with the onset of the virus, I opened up a dialogue. We work in 10 countries of the former Soviet Union, along with the Russian Jewish population in Israel. And they recognize what we recognize, which is basically this represents the greatest opportunity for the proclamation of the gospel in modern-day history. And everybody is experiencing very similar things. Their whole world has been shaken, and people are walking around wondering what's going to happen if I catch this virus and I pass away from it. So people are asking the tough questions. They're asking what's going to happen, where will I spend eternity? And so we're connected with roughly 6,350 churches throughout the 10 countries of the former Soviet Union, and we're getting reports every day from ministry activity that is taking place where people are coming and saving faith in Christ while we're equipping them with resources to meet both the physical and spiritual needs of the people in their communities because the economies are in virtual collapse in those countries.
Wow. So you can see we got a lot today in today's show in so many different ways. It's really phenomenal what all God is doing, but you know, I got to do my riddle. And so, you know, speaking of corona, Andy, you know, speaking of corona, I saw a classified ad the other day. It said single man with toilet paper seeks woman with hand sanitizer for good clean fun. You love this, don't you, Andy?
This is my favorite part.
So, you know, people are using the word lockdown, you know, because they don't know how to spell quarantine. K-W-A-R-I-N-D. You don't know that. So, you know, I hope all the school teachers realize that their students will return and they'll be using the new, the old math. You know what I'm saying? I really like this one. I've absorbed so many disinfectants, soap, and antibacterial sanitizing gels that recently, whenever I go, it cleans the toilet.
Is there a riddle coming in here somewhere?
It is. It's coming.
Okay.
And some people, you know, that are just staying at home, I've heard they're as bored as an Amish electrician. That's pretty bored. You know what I'm saying? And last night, my house got TP'd, and its appraisal value just doubled.
What?
Just saying.
List it.
And this is actually my favorite on this short list. If you get an email with a subject knock knock, don't open it. It's a Jehovah's Witness working from home.
Oh my goodness.
And of course you might want to tune your iPad or whatever to the new Corona playlist. Don't Stand So Close to Me, that's by the Police. Staying Alive, the Bee Gees. Take My Breath Away, Berlin. Keep Your Hands to Yourself, The Cure, I Will Survive, that's a good one. Can't Touch This, MC Hammer, right? And In My Room by the Beach Boys. So, yes, at the end of it, all that, I would have a riddle, and you're right, Andy. The Bible, right, in Revelation refers to one who brings the plague. In fact, this one who brings the plague in the book of Revelation, you might think it's a ship because it's a sick bay. You know what I'm saying? A sick bay. And if you know what I'm talking about, you can call us and win today's riddle at 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. If you know why that would be called like a ship, a sick bay. 866-348-7884. I know you're so glad that we got that over with, Andy, right before the break. So we come back. Oh, my goodness. Brother John, what's going on in the former Soviet Union, and what's going on with pastors and all that's going on? We're loaded for bear today on King of Pursuits, so stay tuned. We got so much. Oh, and you're going to find out about this sick bay. I'm just saying. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And today we are, as I mentioned, just so loaded for bear. We have with us Andy Bowersox with Energized Ministry. You've probably never been introduced as Andy Box before.
I've had it all, Robbie, like every combination you can think of.
Energized Ministries, for those who don't know, is a ministry for pastors. Pray for their pastors, or for your pastors, or mantra. We're going to find out a lot about what's going on with pastors in this current situation with Corona. And along those lines, we have Michael Johnson, and he's with the Slavic Gospel Association. He's talking to pastors in Russia, you know, specifically as they are facing something that, you know, is a whole lot different than what we're facing here based on their resources and what that opens up for as far as, you know, a door for the gospel. And then we have August Turek in his book, Brother John, A Monk, A Pilgrim, and The Purpose of Life. And I don't know if you put this together, but let me put it together for you. That monks have been living in isolation for millennia or whatever. They've been doing it a long time, right? And so they have some interesting wisdom here that August is going to be able to share with us. And, you know, Andy was really stumped by my riddle, so I'm going to just, you know.
I got a little insight. I'm still stumped by the riddle.
He's still stumped by the riddle, but maybe this hint will help you. You know, you might remember, you know, Camptown Racetrack, sing this song. Doo-dah, doo-dah, Camptown Racetrack, 5 miles long, all the doo-dah day. You remember that?
I don't even know who Camptown Racetrack is. Like, really? You're dating yourself here.
Somebody
think,
bet on the bobtail nag. Somebody bet on the bay. Okay. There's your.
It's going to have to be somebody older than me to pick this
up,
I guess.
What does a bobtail nag sound like? Don't answer that. All right, so we got Dwight Gullion is calling in from our homeschool headquarters. Dwight, you are on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you came came in with a good twang there. So
was that my intro?
That was your intro. So, Dwight, I'm told you have a word for us.
Oh, wow. Well, happy Mother's Day to start with.
Yes, it is.
And we're excited to be providing plenty of gifts and pretty cards and so forth to honor your mother here at the Gullion's Christian Supply and Homeschool Headquarters this morning. Pretty busy here, up here in King. And so I was just calling in to say hello and to tell you how much we appreciate you and how much we appreciate our mothers.
Yes, we do. We appreciate the association of Truth Network with Gullion's Homeschool Headquarters. Because, again, it's a great place to be shopping today if you're thinking, wow, what can I get? Because they've got all sorts of wonderful gift ideas. But also, if you've been struggling with homeschooling, and everybody's kind of been doing that too, right, Dwight, that, you know, we could use a few homeschool supplies. You got some ideas, don't you?
Well, sure. I've always said that every child is homeschooled, and I meant it in the sense that even if you are delegating your child's education to a public school or private school or tutors or whatever, that it's when they are home, they're learning and being taught. Well, that statement is universally true now. Every child is being homeschooled at this time, and so a lot of parents that are enjoying this new experience with being the primary teacher of their child, but there are others who are maybe having a little bit of struggle and need a little bit of encouragement. So we are happy to be able to provide some supplemental materials to whatever their school is requiring them to do, but also we have some really good savvy, experienced, caring, graduated homeschool mothers that work for us that are ready to pray with you and advise and give you some encouragement. If you just want to call us, you can, or stop by.
So, again, that exit, well, you get on Highway 52, you go north towards King. If you happen to be in Winston-Salem, if you happen to be in Raleigh, you're going to have to drive all the way up 40. If you're in Charlotte, it's a long way up 77. But when you get here, you go to 52. What exit do you get off, Dwight?
123.
Get off exit 123 in King, and away you go. Turn to the right, and you're going to see him right there on the right. Thank you for calling in, Dwight.
Yeah, my pleasure. Good to speak with y'all. Hey there, Andy. Hope things are going well for you.
Doing great, bud. We'll get up there to see you before too long.
All right. God bless y'all. Thank you.
Thank you, Dwight. So getting back to August, you know, from your perspective, and you spent how much time with the monks?
Well, I've spent as much as 4 months at a crack with them, but I've been going down there since 1996. So I spend weeks or a couple of months at a time there.
Which I find absolutely fascinating. And so from your perspective, you know, here you see a lot of isolation. And of course, you know, Andy is, I'm sure he's very interested in this. And so is Michael. You know, what are some of the things that you've gleaned that we would think appropriate for the current place a lot of people find themselves in?
Well, you know, I just put out something called the coronavirus, the corona beer, the cure for the coronavirus, because it is tongue in cheek, because there's booze sales are up 30%, you know, and to me, there's this concept of milk from thorns is biblical, right? And we could take something good out of something bad, and we have an opportunity to be like the monks. And be contemplative. That's what the monks is their most important thing is they live a life of prayer, and we can be more contemplative and take an opportunity where we're always complaining that we don't have enough alone time. I don't have enough time for myself. I don't blah 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 blah. And instead of using this time, so many people are going out and getting buying booze. So to me, it's a wonderful time to take stock of your life, to ask yourself the big questions: Are we living the right kind of life? Are we right with God? Are we right with our neighbors? There are the people that we need.
August,
to
how do the monks do that? What's their actual structure way that, you know, I mean, I think probably everybody listening would agree that's good, but the question is how do they actually integrate that so that it's effective?
Well, the first thing they do is they get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And they begin going to church services. They go to 8 church services a day. And in between, especially in the morning before they go to work, they have what's called Lectio Divina, which means sitting quietly with biblical scripture. But rather than reading scripture, you're letting scripture read you. So you might just take one verse and then just sit and just contemplate and see what that brings up and what does that, you know, suggest. In other words, meditation, contemplation, prayer. And they spend, in between the services in the morning up until they go to Mass at 7:30, they're involved in Lectio Divina, and of course there's breakfast as well. But so they're constantly, contemplating and meditating. And I find that when I'm there, you know, it's funny that during the break they were talking about St. Paul saying learn to pray always. And I find that even when you're going to work or even when after you've been there for a while, it takes a lot of detox. But after you've been there for a while, you find that even when you're at work or even when you're walking around or even when you're doing something else, things are coming into your mind. You're just constantly kind of in a prayer state. So that's what they're aiming at. That's what how they want to live their lives.
So, August, this is Andy here. I just wanted to bring something up. You know, a couple of months ago, I was having dinner with some friends that had recently visited a monastery place. And I was sort of critical about it. Because I thought, what in the world is the value in having these guys like run off and not see anybody? They're not out like serving. They're not doing anything visible that we can see. And I was just in my spirit like, it's a great discipline. It's sort of honorable to think about it, but I really didn't see any value in what they have to offer as far as advancing the kingdom. And the comments that came back was, you know, what is the most powerful thing you can do as a Christ follower? It's to spend time in prayer. And it totally changed my outlook on it, that honestly, if you can find men that are committed to the value of prayer like that, then by all means, I would love to have their prayers in our ministry, and I'm sure there are many others. So I just wondered if you had any comments about that and why, like, what drives somebody to embrace that or calls them to a life of solitude and prayer like that? Because I appreciate it from this perspective, and a few months ago, I just thought, like, I just don't get it, you know?
Well, first of all, you know, I get that question a lot. First of all, the ripple effects of the monastic tradition have been unbelievable. They're unintentional. I talk about so much. I wrote another book called Business Secrets of the Trappist Monks that was published by Columbia Business School, and where I actually explored their own business techniques, because their motto is prayer and work, ora et labora. so they're prey and they work, and they support themselves through their monastic businesses. And I actually argue that they're the fathers of capitalism, not Adam Smith. But so they're I actually got into this whole, but the whole idea of so many ripple effects that they're unintentional. For example, there the monasteries are the ones that preserved all of Greek learning and libraries and everything during the Middle Ages. So they were the ones that reintroduced the entire Western culture to Aristotle and all that kind of stuff. But the but also, if you actually start going down to Mechlin Abbey, they have a tradition of hospitality, so they're always welcoming people there. And it's amazing the effect. Like on like me, I mean, they absolutely changed my life. And I've gone on now to do my own kind of little ministry where I'm actually basing all of my ideas and I'm spreading what the service and selflessness that I see and experience at the monastery to other people. So the ripple effects are incredible. But you actually put your finger right on it. I said, you know, the ceaseless prayer that they're doing for the entire world, you know.
Yeah, and I, you know, the interesting thing, Andy, is when I was in Jamaica last summer, on the mission trip that I was on, there was a, I went to a monastery there, but they were the only ones helping the special needs people in the city. And it was, I mean, these were monks, but, and they were doing the prayer, but then in between that, you know, they were cleaning, you know, babies and stuff that was like, oh my goodness, the work that they did, like, was not being done by anybody, you know. I'm ashamed to say there were no Protestant denominations that were jumping in there, you know, doing that there. And I thought, you know, this is amazing. Look at what God's doing through this. And you can't miss it. I mean, if you see it. So we come back. We didn't get a chance to talk to Michael. We're going to get his insight on all that. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom today. We are loaded. We've got August Turak. I hope I'm saying that right. With his book is called Brother John that we're talking about today, A Monk, A Pilgrim, and the Purpose of Life. Andy Bowersox with Energized Ministries for Pastors. And, of course, Michael Johnson with the Slavic Gospel Association as Russia's COVID-19 crisis, you know, gets bigger and bigger. And, Andy, our crisis is... like, we lost a pastor in South Carolina, you said, just this week.
Yeah, I, on the way over here, Robbie, I just was thinking about what we're going to talk about, you know, and I sort of want to tie this in, talk about our lodge a little bit. I think you've been up to Virginia where we have
it's a blast.
700-acre mountain property that we've been leasing for the last few years. And a few years ago, I started to believe that God wanted us to purchase that property and to further develop it into a full-time, true kingdom leadership retreat center. And so we made that commitment at the end of last year. We're only a few weeks away from having to fulfill that commitment. And honestly, I have no idea how that's going to happen. God's always seemed to show up at the 11th hour for us. But it's a big need. It's over $1 million that we still need to purchase this property. But I've been spending a lot of time up there and just praying and seeking and say, God, is this really what you want, you know? And a couple interesting things have happened. One, even just last week, and maybe you can help me with this. I don't remember if I was listening to this or reading it from somewhere, but it was a women's devotional, and it was a lady that was given this women's devotional. And again, it's pathetic that I can't remember if I either heard it or read it, but I remember the content of it. And while it wasn't intended for men, she made the point that all through the Bible, God met men on the mountaintops. You look through that's where God's preferred method, apparently, of communicating with men was on the mountaintops. But he never did that with women. God would always come to the women, be it at the well, be it in the kitchen, be it in the grave, like wherever, for whatever reason, God seems to come to speak to women, but he prefers or often will choose to meet with men on the mountaintops. And I've seen that happen over and over and over on our mountaintop in Virginia right there. And I was up there last week with just a couple guys, and I was remembering how many times I've seen God breathe new life and new ministries into men sitting around a campfire. And, when, you know, we're not going to talk about the spiritual value of fire, but there's a lot there also. And so it's just been reiterating to me over and over. And then, you know, you mentioned there was earlier this week, in the last couple of days, there was another pastor suicide. And right before I read that news, I was in my mind contemplating more insight that I feel like God's downloading to us about the value of connecting and how important this property is for us to be able to meet one-on-one with pastors, to see pastors not just connecting with us as human beings and face-to-face, but connecting with God. And so, I don't know, I feel like, you know how radical we are. We live on this wild limb of faith, expecting God to show up, or we're not going to survive from one day to the next. And so, really, you know, I said, yeah, I'd love to come on your program, but it's really, I want to ask for the prayer support again of those out there that do support us. If you're not familiar with our ministry, like, that's really all we ever ask is for your prayer support right there. Everything we do is a gift. Everything we do costs us financially, but the only ask that we make is for people to pray for us. And so I'm here right now for that specific reason. We're just a few weeks away from asking God to do yet another miracle, one that we believe he's promised to us, so that we can continue to serve, so that we can continue to pour back into healthy spiritual leadership, so that we can continue to see new ministries born and birth. And we always say healthy leadership leads to healthy ministries, and healthy ministries lead to a better ability to fulfill the Great Commission. So that's our spot. And I love talking with August here about the monks thing. And I could probably do that all day on another program, because it's been new insight to me. Yeah, but I know you got other guests.
Well, Michael has been sitting there very, very patiently, and all the time. He's got the Slavic pastors that he's dealing with, and so I'm really interested in your insight.
Well, thank you very much, and I've been listening very closely to the conversation, and have been really blessed by it, particularly as it relates to the monks. And it reminds me of a conversation I had with a pastor about 20 years ago when I was in Russia. And I guess, you know, we're a ministry of prayer as well. Our founder wrote a book called Much Prayer, Much Power. He prayed his entire life that the walls would come down. He passed away, and 2 years later, God answered his prayer, unbeknownst to anybody. But this pastor said to me, I said, we're praying for you guys. He said, you know, we pray for you as well. And I said, what is the nature of your prayer? He said, well, we know how much more difficult it is to be a Christian in America than it is to be here. And I said, why is that? He said, you people have so many distractions in your lives. And your kids grow up, and one moves to New York, the other one moves to California, and it's like your jobs are more important than your family. And we see the struggle that you have. We don't have what you have. So, you know, God has given us an opportunity to reach our nations for Christ, and that's where we focus most of our energy. And I think that there's some level of truth to that, and I really had to think about that. God is, you know, we live in a wonderful country, and we have all kinds of resources, and certainly have the opportunity to use the skills that God has given us to expand his kingdom. But he is right. We have many distractions here, and I think it poses a challenge.
Yeah, and it's fascinating, though. COVID kind of evens the playing field.
Well, it does. Yeah, what's interesting, I was thinking about this as well, because many years ago, the Russians, I think Khrushchev made the statement that he was going to eliminate religion from those entire nations and put the last Bible under glass in a museum in St. Petersburg. And at the time, we were ramping up our radio ministry. And we got to the point where we were broadcasting radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to people in their living rooms and their basements who would gather the people from their villages to listen to God's word. And now the country opened up, and we helped to build a lot of churches, and, you know, people have been a lot more free to come and attend churches throughout those countries. But now with COVID, they can't attend churches in the similar situation we are here. So they're back in their apartments, and they're back in their homes, not necessarily listening to radio, but they're experiencing worship in the same way we are, you know, through Zoom and through the Internet. And so it's not anything all that new to them. And they are adapting to this new reality. But what they are experiencing is there's a tremendous amount of need, particularly when you get past the cities, of these families who, you know, they've lost their jobs, they lost their incomes. You know, the children who are living in orphanages, the orphanages are closing down, and now they're being forced back into dysfunctional homes. And so the Christians in those areas are acutely aware of who is in need, and they're doing everything they can to minister to those people, both in word and deed. And we're trying to get resources to them through our Christ Over COVID ministry so that they can equip, so that they are equipped with, you know, food packs and Bibles and other, you know, disinfectants and those kinds of things to meet their needs. So for me, you know, it's a different life over there, but it's not that different now than it was before the wall came down. These people adapt very easily, and it's just a wonderful partnership we have, and the reports that we get back about people coming to faith in Christ are just phenomenal.
Yeah, but you bring up so many different things that you just go, wow. You know, there is an economic side to this that is huge,
yeah.
That's a big old hammer that's being swung. And for pastors, same thing, Andy, right? I mean, I've talked to lots of pastors who are like, our giving is down, you know, two-thirds, and they're
yeah,
facing things like that.
Yeah, I think let me back up, right? We recently sent out a survey just to ask area pastors what are their biggest needs, you know, what are they concerned about, and I was actually genuinely encouraged to hear how many of them said, I am struggling because I'm misconnecting with our people. And it just goes to show that, like, pastors truly have a calling and a heart. It's a God-given passion for them to get up and do what they do, and often with little recognition and affirmation. And so, you know, listen, we're ready to get back. We're ready to hear the word directly from the mouth of a human being face-to-face and experience corporate worship together. So
we got one more segment coming with August Turek, Michael Johnson, and of course Andy Bowersox. But you didn't answer my riddle yet, so you can call in on that. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And I just marvel, I really do, at the giftings that God brings to his church. You know, people like Andy, who clearly were the gifting for pastors, and this lodge that, you know, and I've been there, and let me just tell you, oh my goodness, what a wonderful opportunity to pray for men to be able to go up there that are spiritual leaders and meet with God, because it has just a phenomenal piece of property, but just a phenomenal way that it feels, the spirit that's up there when you go up there, and an opportunity to do that.
There's
awesome.
There's an anointing there for sure.
But also the gifting of Michael and you know, his heart for the Slavic people, and clearly, you know, how cool is that? And then we got August. And like, August, you have a business acumen, that, right? You wrote this whole book on the monk's view of business and how that worked out financially, and clearly we could use some business sense in these crazy times, right? What could you say along those lines for, you know, all these ministries that are struggling financially?
Well, I have a lot to say. But first of all, I want to say to Mikhail, здравствуйте, как вы поживаете? Очень приятно. I spend a lot of time in Russia myself, and I'm actually keep working on learning the Russian language, and I hear from a lot of my friends through WhatsApp, et cetera, so I know how much they're struggling over there, so I really admire what he's doing and trying to do.
Thank you very much.
But anyway,
I appreciate that.
What I keep saying is that the monks are all about service and selflessness. And that was when I wrote my book. My book, Brother John, actually was an essay contest. I won a $100,000 Templeton Prize for an essay called Brother John, where I was asked to answer the question, "What is the purpose of life?" And what I said is that I called it self-transcendence, becoming the best person we can possibly be, which I think is selflessness. And I took the inspiration from it from St. Paul's, right, kenosis, from the self-emptying of Jesus, where you completely self-empty yourself. And I make the case in my business book that the more successfully we forget our selfish motivations, the more successfully we become in business. In other words, it is in our own self-interest to forget our self-interest. And I illustrate not only how the monks use that idea to become very successful in their own businesses, but how I use that same idea to take $2,500 and turn it into $150 million over about 8 years by using exactly the month template for how you should run a business based on selfless principles.
Can you, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time. Can you give us like the 2-minute course real quick? Because I think we're all, you have our complaint.
Pretty good, pretty good compound right there.
Okay, I'll give you 2 minutes of some examples from directly from business. I'm a leadership contributor for Forbes as well. Vast majority of people want to become leaders for selfish reasons. I'll get promoted, I'll get power, all people will admire me, etc. But if you think about leadership, for example, the purpose of leadership is not to make me successful, it's for me to make other people successful. And the more successfully I get other people promoted, the faster I get promoted. So my job is to forget all about my own career path and fanatically focus selflessly on getting my people promoted and successful. And lo and behold, I become successful.
Are you still with us? Did we lose you?
No, I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead.
And the same thing applies to sales, that the more successfully a salesman, and I was a good enough salesman, I was on the cover of Selling Magazine at one point, that the more successfully you forget your product, forget your quota, forget your commissions, and fanatically focus on selflessly serving your customers' needs, the commissions take care of themselves.
That's right.
So what I keep saying in my book is that what the monks have discovered is that profit and money and business success is a byproduct of living the right kind of life.
I'd say it's true in ministry also. At least it's been in our case, it's been true.
Yeah,
well,
I've seen you
do. In my book, I apply everything to your personal life. Everything works that way. And all the virtues that harbor selflessness, all the sins that harbor selfishness.
That is so cool. Yeah, that's a phenomenal thing. So, Michael, we got just about a minute left or 2 minutes left, something like that. Could you share with our listeners how they can pray for you guys in your current situation?
Well, our prayer is that God would continue to open hearts in the countries that we serve in to the truth of His Word, and that they would pray for courage for the pastors to go out and clearly preach the gospel to these people, and that God would lead them to those people in whose hearts He is working. And we do have a website, sga.org/COVID. We are providing daily prayer updates and daily prayer requests. If people want to pray with us, we can give them access to exactly
so
what God is doing.
It's SGA, which is Slavic Gospel Association .org.
.org.
Okay.
/COVID.
We got that.
I guarantee you that
right.
Anybody that has access to these stories and these prayer requests will be blessed.
And you, Andy, obviously we need to pray for your lodge.
Every minute of every day from the next 3 weeks. You got it. Yep. EnergizedMinistries.com is our website.
And August Turok is pretty easy to find him online. He has his AugustTurok.com. There you can find all his books, Brother John, the one on business. Obviously, there's a lot of value there, August. Thank you. God bless you guys all for being with us today. How fun was all that? So, yeah, that too. Well, thank you for listening. I should tell you that it was a horse, right? The horse of the apocalypse. He was bringing the plague. It's a bay, right?
Don't get the bay, but I'm not a horse guy, so you're on your own, Robbie.
That's okay. It was a sick bay. It was coming. Stay tuned. So much truth coming at you on the Truth Network.
This is the Truth Network.